Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem, BPJ share number 151. That's by Panini joint share number 151. In the 13 things mentally strong couples do, we're holding number six. Number six is that they don't try to fix each other. It's a very important one. You can influence, but you cannot change a person. So here are some examples and see how many of these statements sound true to you. I try to trick my spouse into making healthy changes, like sneaking vegetables into their food or hiding their alcohol. Or I give my spouse unwelcome feedback on their behavior. Or I sometimes feel more like my spouse's parent. I think I've made my spouse's life better because I've helped them improve so much. I sometimes lecture my spouse about unhealthy habits that he or she has. I invest a lot of energy trying to convince my spouse they should change their habits. I spend a lot of time talking to other people about how I'd like to get my spouse to change. I feel sorry for my spouse sometimes. My spouse has such potential and I want to help them reach it. So not all of these statements are bad. Some of them are very, very well-meaning and showing care. But a lot of these statements show that you are spending a lot of energy trying to fix one another. And the idea of even someone has a somewhat of a drinking problem, to try to force them to change will not help. Healthy ashpa helps, but not forcing an issue. In a healthy relationship, your job as a spouse is to provide emotional support and to try to introduce logic when your spouse is struggling to think clearly. Because, of course, strong emotions can cloud judgments, even if you're level-headed. But your job isn't to fix them. You're not a surgeon that's going to repair them. You're not the coach or trainer that needs to educate them or correct them. You're not their Rebbe. You're not their doctor. So attempting to fix your spouse changes the dynamic of the marriage, and it damages the marriage. So you have to ask yourself that question. Are there things about your spouse you're trying to fix? And is your spouse trying to fix things about you? Now, a lot of it we're talking now is not a matter of control, but like well-meaning things. No one wants to see their spouse suffer. So of course they'll go through great lengths to stop them from doing things we think that are harmful and destructive for them. It may be a single event. You know, they want to do a cosmetic procedure. Say the wife wants a cosmetic procedure and you feel it's risky and dangerous and you want to talk them out of it. Or the husband's smoking and one cigarette won't kill you, but it's like a death by 1,000 paper cuts, where smoking every day may kill you. And wife is at odds, not knowing what to do to help them, you know, stop smoking. If that's, you know, really something that's really concerning to them. So that's the idea, though, you know. And some people want to fix their spouse's shyness, as an example, or their chronic lateness to shul. You know, husband's late to shul all the time, or shot, you know, even Shabbos, 9 o'clock meeting, and wakes up 5 to 9, and the wife's frustrated with that, wants to fix that problem. All those ideas. So here she has a story, this Amy Morin, about a husband that had a drinking problem. Maybe not full-fledged alcoholic, but definitely had a drinking problem. And she was sitting with the wife, and you know, working out how she brainstorms, the wife, that is, to make her husband stop drinking. So the wife was talking, maybe she should try cutting off the husband's access to credit cards or hiding his wallet so he can't buy alcohol. But the wife really knew those things wouldn't work in the long term. She said she could contact the husband's coworkers and tell them to stop inviting the husband out after work. But that would only upset the husband and he probably wouldn't listen anyway. And then she even thought of showing up in the bar where he was drinking and telling everyone who's serving her husband is that they're killing him. But he knew that would embarrass her husband and it wouldn't change his behavior either. So eventually she said, you know, short of locking him in a room without access to alcohol, I don't know what else to do to make him stop. And don't think I haven't thought of that. So the point, though, the author here tried to have this woman brainstorm these far-fetched options wasn't because she really wanted her to follow through with any of them, but she wanted this wife to see that the husband's behaviors was not something that she could stop. And ultimately, she acknowledged that, the wife, that even though she did develop some, you know, she developed these strange concoctions of elaborate plans to try to have him stop drinking, that these plans were ridiculous or totally unrealistic. Now, so what the author here did with the wife is say, try to change your behavior towards him. So generally, when the husband came home late, and she assumed that because he was at a bar, she used to yell at him as soon as he walked through the door to check your blood sugar, which he often refused. And they would argue and then, you know, go in their storm in their separate rooms for the evening. And so the therapist here, the author, and the wife decide, let's change it up. Let's try something different. So what happened was the husband came home right after work. And the wife would greet him with a hug, with a smile, right after work, which means two nights a week. He came right after work home, which means he wasn't drinking on the way. Then she would greet him with a smile and a hug and say how happy she was to see him. And they would have dinner together and really, you know, enjoy the night together. But on those nights where he came home late, and she assumed probably stopped by the bar, and she may have even smelled some alcohol on his breath, so she doesn't have to go with the huge smiles and hugs and say, I'm so happy to see him. But what she could do, instead of yelling and screaming, and what she did do, is just calmly say, there's leftovers in the fridge, I'm going to read, but she wasn't yelling and carrying on. Okay? She didn't placate him or, you know, show a huge amount of affection, but didn't yell and scream and carry on either. Just said, leftovers in the fridge, I'm doing my own thing. Now, to the wife's surprise, this new approach led to positive results. They stopped arguing. There was a small shift in his behavior. They started talking about the alcohol issue. She opened up in a way, not in an angry way, but in a curious way. Is it how it affects the blood sugar? And he started talking about it. So not that his behavior changed overnight. She couldn't prevent the husband from drinking, or she couldn't stop the husband from making his own choices. But there was a big oil off her shoulders when she recognized, I can't do that. I can only try to help in those behaviors. So the idea is that even if her husband or wife has a real problem, the lecturing won't work. The nagging won't work. The begging won't work. The manipulating won't work. All of these things will not work. And the idea is that we also know that people don't like being lectured to. When you were a child and an adult lectured you, you weren't thinking, wow, that person's so smart. They're making amazing points and telling me things that I haven't really thought of. And I'm so happy they enlightened me. And therefore, I'm going to change my behavior right away. That doesn't happen. Usually happens. Doesn't happen. So you skip the lecture. You skip the lecture. You know, so this is what you say instead. I love you, and I know I sometimes worry about you too. And lately I noticed you haven't been wanting to do fun things and you spend more time in bed, you know, if he's depressed, instead of just saying you're depressed, you know. So the focus is to influence your spouse, not to fix them. And that is very good. A good way to help other people to see the benefits of adapting a new behavior is observation. If your spouse sees how staying calm helped you succeed, they may be less likely to keep, you know, to lose their cool and to lose control. So the key is that you're more influential by allowing your actions to speak for themselves. That is important. If you get up into the gym every day with a positive attitude, your spouse may be a little more motivated as well. And instead of criticizing your spouse for the behavior you don't like, offer kind words regarding the behavior that you do like. So, for example, you know, you should if you tell your spouse you should quit working so much in the evenings, you'll get an argument. But if, let's say, on a night you're spending time together, enjoying each other's company, you say, I love it when we can go for a walk and talk about a day together. It's so nice to spend time with you. Then on his own, he'll realize, yes, I should leave work a normal time so I can spend more time with my wife. So that is the idea. So, and let's say he barely comes, you don't and comes home on time, and finally he did. Don't give a backhanded compliment. I'm so glad you finally took the day off. You know, it's that you don't do that. And the idea is that this motivation goes up and goes down, and but that's really what changes over time. Don't try to fix your spouse, and don't, you know, if your spouse tries to fix you, you have to deal with it in a healthy way. To fix each other is not a healthy thing, to focus on fixing each other. But the idea is that you just put energy in the relationship and you're receptive to it and so on and so forth. The idea also is you don't try to hide things and make these sneaky attempts to fix your spouse. In other words, if you're, let's say, concerned about your husband's salt intake. So you don't just all of a sudden switch to low sodium products without telling him. You'll cause that, you know, you may not be causing mamish damage, but you're going to find ways to trick him to give up unhealthy habits, and it'll consume your life. The idea is it shouldn't consume your life, and therefore you don't do these games of trying to, let's say, dilute the alcohol with water or something like that. So the idea is people often come, and therapists say this, that it's very rare to see a couple where they both take the responsibility for their part in the difficulty in the relationship. Usually each one points a finger at the other, which is sad. And what do you do with people like that who devote too much energy in trying to fix their spouse rather than working on themselves? So the idea is you have to really turn inward and explore your own fears. Explore your own fears. Doesn't mean you're letting your spouse off the hook, but you're allowing your own needs and acknowledging them, and you're owning up to them. And you're learning how to meet your emotional needs. And that's very important. So again, just to summarize this chapter, this is a big yesod overall. In general, in acceptance of people, you don't try to fix each other. Some things are just inherently, certain chesrinis even within each individual is not meant to try to twist them into a pretzel, into your image, but rather to accept those flaws and to embrace it and to make the most of those differences between you and your spouse in the best possible way. Don't try to fix each other fundamentally. That's where a lot of problems come, when people try to fix fundamentally each other. It comes into parents' dynamics, comes into, you know, husband and wife dynamics, obviously. But this is the idea. You could ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help with the whole process of it. But the idea of trying to fix a person, you can't. You could influence, you ask Hashem to heal, and you do everything you can. Your normal hishtadlis of being respectful, loving each other, protecting each other, and treating each other with derech eretz. And as we're going to talk about in upcoming shiurim with, you know, when we learn more of these 13 things that people, that, you know, that mentally strong couples don't do, and they don't blame each other and so on and so forth. So, and they don't communicate disrespectfully, like we're going to learn soon. But here we're talking about the ideas that they don't try to fix each other. They're mekabel what they need to be mekabel from each other, and they accept fundamentally who the other person is, and that brings a lot of healing. Bracha v'atzlacha.